Amen. Well, today I'm just going to talk to you. Is that all right? And we'll just have a chat. Last year, this time, the first time I spoke in January, we talked about sort of the direction for the year, and we handed out the little pins, and we talked all last year about take a risk. How many of you remember that? And those four values, which are always going to be our values, but I knew, you know, that was going to be our direction for that year, and really our whole life, but I wanted to emphasize it that year. Take a risk means get involved in relationships, intercession, just go for the supernatural, bring the kingdom of God into your life. And I'm going to really sort of take that same theme. It worked out good last year, so this year is the first time I'm speaking here. And I'm going to talk about the vision, a little bit different, not for this year, but the vision of Relationship Church, which I believe is part of the vision for what God wants to do in Northwest Georgia. And so, and why I'm here, and other leaders are here, and why you're here. Because we don't do a lot of things that normal churches do. And there's a reason. If you connect to this body, you got to realize we have a very laser-like specific focus. And that's not to downgrade other people's focus. God gives variety to everybody. No unique snowflake is made the same way, no tree is made the same way, and no church is made the same way. And we know what our calling is on our life. And so that's, as you hang around us and we hang around you, that's where we'll end up. So I'm not trying to build a church per se as culture would dictate. You follow what I'm talking about? Grow it big, have lots of programs. Those are the traditional things. There's nothing wrong with that. Some people's called to that. We're not called to that. We're called, as we even have with the little welcome brochure out there, get connected. Our call is to connect people. Got these little business cards you can take and hand out to your friends. That's what those are for, telling the times. But our call is and I put it on that little handout there, and we'll walk through it, not in any particular order, but hopefully we'll hit all of it before we get through. But our calling here in relationship to you, and you relationship to us, is to connect you to three things: to God, and I'm going to talk about that because that's a big subject. There's some specific areas, to others, and to your purpose. And if you hang around us, time has shown you will get connected to God, and that's more than just getting saved. That's obviously the first step. You can't connect God without salvation. But we want to connect you to God. We want to connect you to others because there's a specific reason. So much of Christianity is disconnected. All we do is interact on a large group like this. And this has a purpose, and we'll talk about that. But you've got to get connected because your destiny is, and your maturity is tied up in your connections with others. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. God is not an American. He's not, who was it, Frank Sinatra or whoever that was? I'm an island unto myself, I'm a rock, that kind of thing. What was that? I don't remember. Simon Garfunkel, that's what it was. Do it my way. And God is not that way. Even the Trinity, even God is not isolated. We're not like Muslims. We don't believe there's one personality named Allah. We believe there's one God with three persons. I can't answer all the questions. But you know, if I don't have to, if I could answer all the questions about God, it would take away the power and the uniqueness and the mystery of God. But as I walk with Him, I will get to know Him more. Amen? But you're never going to know them all. But there's three persons there. There's a Father, there's his Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And they have roles, and their destinies are tied to each other. Do you realize Jesus Christ would have never rose again from the dead if the Holy Spirit hadn't risen Him from the dead? He said, "Into my hands I commit my spirit." That means He knew that what was about to happen, and for Him to come out of hell and the grave, the Holy Spirit better do His job. And we know He did. And so salvation came through what Jesus did, but when we get saved, who comes inside of you? It's the Holy Spirit. And we're connected like that, and that's how God even sets it up in His body here on earth, is my destiny is in some way, form, or another tied to those around me. Now, that's a humbling experience because us as Americans and as humans, we like to think it's all encapsulated in us. And many Christians are living like everything is totally encapsulated in us. And that is one reason there is little maturity in the body of Christ, because what sharpens us? The Word of God and iron. Where does iron come from? As Proverbs says, iron sharpens a friend. Now, a friend is not one that needs your approval and is trying to make you happy and trying to get you on their side. A friend, a true friend, it says, better are the kisses of what is it? Kisses of the wounds of an enemy. You get the idea. The true friend will tell you what weaknesses are in your life without condemnation, judgment, and shame. Why? Because he wants to see you grow. He wants to see you mature. He will lay down his own need for your approval and approval in his eyes to help see you get there. We've got to have at least one of those people in our lives. Amen? The more the merrier. Now, we probably can't handle 10 or 15. That's just, we can't work that fast. I got too many weaknesses for 10 or 15 people. But I need one or two or three people around me that care more about my destiny and then than just making me like them. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of you ever been in a supervisory position or employer or an owner? Okay, you can tell when those people under you are, or you should be able to tell, if not, pray for discernment. They're doing what they're doing just to get your approval so that they can get a promotion. They don't really care that much about you except where your life connects, and they'll pole vault on past you if they can. You follow what I'm talking about? And then there's people around, but then there's others, they truly want to learn from you and grow from you. And we need people like that. So we need to connect to God. We need to connect to others. And we need to connect to our purpose. And I'm going to talk about those today. You're going to hear me use four words. I'm going to define them to some extent today. Because you'll hear me and other leaders in this church say them over and over and over again. Most of this, what I say today, if you've been around here for a year or two, it's going to be old hat. If it is, just take it in and just say, okay, where can I go from here and do more with it. But it's presence, principles, prophetic, and power. You'll hear us say those words a lot, and I think it's good on a January, beginning of a year, to define these words again and talk about them, because sometimes I'll just say them and I realize that person doesn't know what that means to be prophetic. Well, what does he mean by the presence of God? What does he mean by the power of God? And so this is a sort of a review, start us off and get us going. But I'm telling you, the direction he's given us is part of the direction for what he wants in Northwest Georgia. Why do I say Northwest Georgia? Because we have a church here in Whitfield County, and we have one in Calhoun. And the Lord wants to meet those counties and more in this area. And it's not just this city. And so he wants, I think he sees Northwest Georgia as a unit. I don't have time to go into it a lot. He sees Atlanta as a spherical, as a sphere of influence. He sees Chattanooga as a sphere of influence, and he sees Northwest Georgia with Dalton sort of at the center as a sphere of influence. What I mean by that is he moves in different ways, in different areas, have different callings. Okay, what Charlotte is doing with Morningstar and the other great churches there, what IHOP is doing, Mike Bickle and the House of Prayer in Kansas City, what they're doing good things. We take pieces of them, but that's not our calling to be a movement for 24/7 prayer around the world coming out of Dalton, Georgia. But we have a calling. Are y'all with me? Is this y'all hanging with me? And so I just want to give you a vision for the Lord. The Lord has a calling for Northwest Georgia. And part of that is he wants us to connect to him. Now, I have been a Christian following God all of my life since I was 13. I didn't go through the rebellious years as a 13-year-old. I don't have a horrendous past. I don't have drug testimonies and this and that going on in my life. That's a rarity. But I say that to say this, is that I've been in church all of my life, and then until my mid-20s, I was saved, but I did not have a dynamic relationship with God. And James and I are going to talk more about this later. I was taught that God only spoke to you through scriptures, and that's basically all you got. And you emphasized the principles. What are principles? Principles are the lifestyle of and the habits. The rules is one way to put it, but it's a lifestyle and a habit of how Jesus lived on the earth and how the Bible tells us to live, and we incorporate them in our life. The principles is living by how the Word of God says to align your life. And I was doing that, and that is an important thing, and that is a key thing. But I was in a church movement that did not believe God could speak to you from the inside. You did not have dreams. You did not have visions. You never emphasized His presence. If something happened, it was just there. And what I found was, this is what a preacher I heard about 15, 20 years ago say. Because we believe you got to have the presence and the principles. John 4:23-24 says, there is a time coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have that on a banner here somewhere in the building. I don't remember where we had put it last. I think it's in the Moravian room. Spirit and truth. The person of Jesus and the truth. It says in Ephesians 1:17, we need to grow in wisdom, which is the principles, and revelation. Revelation is the talking of the Holy Spirit to us. And so I grew up in a place that did not emphasize the presence. And what I found is this. If you live by truth only without the Spirit of God, you will dry up. It gets very hard. I was working my way to God. I didn't know it. I wasn't working my way to God. I knew how I got saved. I was working myself. I was working, trying to be a good Christian by just the things I did. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Principles are necessities. If you don't follow His laws, you reap them. You reap consequences. As I tell my kids, if you obey, you're blessed. If you don't obey, you're not blessed. It's as simple as that. But if I don't enter into a relationship with my kids, it's going to be, they will follow the rules, but it will rob the joy of life out of it. The joy of life is my kids knowing me and them knowing me. I'm knowing them and them knowing me. And we playing games together and doing Uno games together and shooting arrows together or whatever it may be. That's the joy of life. The principles keep us between the ruts. They keep us between going. They're necessities. We've got to have rules in the house. You've got your chores and I've got my chores. But I am bigger than the chores. Our family hopefully is bigger than the chores. Y'all grabbing me? The joy of life is connecting with God. Principles only, you dry up. The presence only, you will blow up. You may know God, but you're constantly getting into chaos. Your life is a mess. I was in the charismatic movement for 15 years. I've met many wonderful people. They could prophesy. They could hear God speak. They knew when God moves. But their life was a mess. I've been around traditional denominations that didn't believe any of those things. And their life was much more ordered because they followed the principles. And what we're about here is to connect to God and His presence and connect His principles, become worshipers in spirit and truth, and imagine what happens when we start living out the principles with God beside us, helping us walk it out. And that's why so much of the time we talk about how to walk with God. What are His principles? I mean, James has got a book out there, 24, I think, Life Principles. But those are excellent and they're awesome. But if you try to live those on your own, you're going to do one of two things. You're going to do them to some degree and deceive yourself you're doing them, and you're going to become proud. Or you're going to fail miserably and go into shame because you can't follow the principles. Arrogance or shame is what happens when we will try to live out the Christian life without a true relationship with God. And relationship is not just knowing you're saved. That gets you in the door to start becoming saved. That's like the engagement. If you know, and arranged marriages are still a big part of the world today. And many people don't meet their brides or their bridegrooms until the day of the wedding. I've worked with several Indians from India. And, you know, this was several years ago, knew somebody. He was a contractor here in the States, and he was just real low-key. And he said, well, I got to have 6 weeks off. And they gave him. He said, why? He says, well, I'm getting married. Well, tell me about her. Well, her name is this and that. It was obvious he had not, I think he had seen her, but he did not know her. That's a common thing around the world. But, you know, that's how it is when you become a Christian. You've heard about them. You've gotten some revelation that this is your connection, that this is your door. I need to marry Jesus. But just as we go into that door, just as they got married in India and he came back, guess what? They didn't know each other. They had been introduced and they decided to make a covenant, and now is the time to do the relationship. And so many times as Christians, I find myself That's the end. I'm saved. What's next? Let's wait for the rapture. Well, no. God has such a rich life for us to connect to Him. And He and His presence wants to grow alongside of you. If you have a good marriage, you want your wife or husband to go with you. You want them to hang out with you. Even if you don't say anything, you just want them around. I heard a marriage counselor several weeks ago. You might have heard this story. It was on Focus on the Family. It's great. It talks about the value of presence. He said he was counseling a couple that was having a hard time in their marriage. And I won't go into a long story, but he challenged the wife, you need to do what he wants to do. Sometimes it needs to be flipped, depends on the situation. But you need to do what he wants to do. Okay. So she asked him, what do you want to do? He says, well, why don't you go hunting with me, on deer hunting with me Saturday morning? Okay, this is the last thing that she wants to do, is go deer hunting. Okay, how many women can agree with that? How many men can agree with that? So she does. They get up early, 3 hours before dawn. They get in a truck. They get the deer stands. They get their guns. She wasn't actually going to shoot, but they go out in the woods. And she'd never done this before, but this has been a big part of his life. They walk to a tree, and he puts the deer stand about 10 feet up, helps her in it, and says, that's your tree. Stay there and be quiet and help watch for deer. He goes like 15 feet off to another deer stand, another tree, climbs the tree 10 feet up. They're like 15, 20 feet apart in these high trees, sitting in the dark, can't talk. That's an ideal date, isn't it, women? They didn't see any deer. 2 hours later, they climb back down. He takes her deer stand down, takes his deer stand down, throws it in the truck. They get in the car, they go off, and he looks at it and goes, that was the best time we've ever had. Okay, we're not doing marriage sessions. I'm thinking about doing it later. But there was something he enjoyed about her presence there. It didn't do much for her, but it did open up the door. And then later he said, well, what do you want to do? This church on purpose is designed for two types of people, or one type of person with two characteristics. It is designed for hungry, desperate people. The worship services, sometimes they're awesome, sometimes they're mediocre, sometimes they're great. But if you don't have a hunger to connect with God, you're just not going to relate. Maybe we don't understand everything. Maybe some things seem too radical for us or too quiet for us. But I tell you, we're after connecting with God. The large group meetings like this, its primary purpose is to connect with God and give you faith-filled visions and direction and an overview to connect with God. I do not want you just to hear about God. I want the very presence and the person of the Trinities to come into this place. We're serious about that. And we will keep doing whatever we think and change whatever we think needs changing from top to bottom if it will increase the presence of God.
Hallelujah. Come on, with
it. The way we are now is not the way we were 4 years ago. It's not the way we were 4 years ago. I mean, there's some sips before that. There's some similarities. But some of you being around, it's just different. Some of the structure's different. But we are on a mission to do whatever it takes to bring the presence of God into this place more. Now, I know we carry the presence of God with us. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit's inside of us. And I'm happy with that. I want that. But there is also one reason we do large group meetings. There's a big move in the earth just to meet in homes and small groups, and that's good. But for us, I have found a dynamic that was when there's more Christians and we're all hungry and desperate for God, more of Him comes in than I can just usually bring in on my own. It's not always true, but it's a common thing. Because He shows up where there's a people hungry and desperate after Him. And when He shows up, miracles happen. Many things I've prayed for people several times that when he just shows up, they'll come up to me and go, I just got healed. Well, who prayed for you? Nobody. It's because God showed up. Because when God comes, whatever is not of him has to leave. More can be done sitting in the presence of God, and as it grows stronger and stronger in 10 or 15 minutes and 10 or 15 hours of counseling. We still do the counseling, that's the principles. We still pray for people, that's the principles. But there's sometimes we just got to have God to show up. And so we run this fine line. You find churches that are very emphasis on the supernatural and very little teaching, and churches that are very emphasis on the teaching but not on the supernatural. Somehow or another, we're trying to bridge the gap to do both. Thank God. And we'll talk more about that next week in the panel discussion. And that's the major purpose. So what's our major purpose on Sunday morning? To do whatever it does to attract God. Praise and worship attracts God. That's why we go longer than most people. That's why we're a little bit more radical free. Why? It says to worship him with your whole body, soul, and spirit. It's actually heart, mind, and soul. That could be quiet, because sometimes we just have to be quiet. It's not right. It may be jumping up and down. It may be quiet. It does. I can't tell you. If we're all jumping up and down, then we're doing something wrong. Probably. Why? Because we're none of us. We're all different snowflakes. He works with us different. There's freedom to worship God, however. You got me? Now, I know this is basic, but y'all hanging with me? And so that's why we got here Sunday morning. It's because Jesus is worth it. Now, we have a philosophy here. Our philosophy is Sunday morning is for Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Now, I don't mean this to offend you. I mean it for you to understand it, where I'm at. This Sunday morning is primarily for him, secondarily for you. I really mean that. Jesus is worthy of a group of believers to come into his house, and he is enough to be there. That's enough of our reason to be there to worship him. Now what happens is when we do that for him, we get blessed in the process, because wherever we whatever you focus on, you'll become like. And so Sunday morning, you can tell your friends, what is Relationship Church about? It's about connecting to what? God. Oh, I know about God. You may know about him, but have you talked to him? Have you been in his throne room? Has he come into your room? Have you had dreams and visions? Then come with us. We're on a journey for that. You mean you've seen all that? Yeah, he talks to me all the time. An audible voice? Some people, not me, but it's an inward voice. The reason he came to deposit the Son of God and the Holy Spirit inside of me was not just for salvation. It was primarily so that we could have a CB radio or an internet chat relay back and forth between him. Amen? It was to get the cell phone connection going again.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
And so it's all right to say, hey, I hear from God. You know, that really unnerves most people. But until we're willing to go there ourselves and then share it with others, people will never know you can go there. How did you learn how to go there? Maybe a teaching. That usually confirms it or gets it started. But it's somebody in your life around you. That's why it's so important to connect to others. They're doing it. It provokes you to do it. I know when I first heard people when I was did not believe in the gifts and praise and worship, and I heard people say, you know, God's told me this or told me that, I used to get so mad. I did not like it. I was like, in my own mind, you're either an idiot, arrogant, hearing voices, or how dare you. How many of you ever been there? Am I the only one? Okay, I had to it took a little while to work through this. Because why? I thought everything summed up and ended in me. We have to admit that, don't we? And somewhere I had to get out of my paradigm that said, okay, maybe there's more to this than me and what I know and what I've been taught. So I was provoked by others. That's why we've got to hang around people that are more mature than us. Also what I talked about earlier, they care about us. But if you are the most mature person in your group of people around you, that's all right, stay there. But you need to enlarge your circle. Because you will not grow much beyond where you're at now. Now that's blunt. From personal experience, what happens is when I'm the most mature constantly around people, the tapes I listen to, I've already been there and done that, could teach it, whatever, I tend to plateau and get a status quo right there where I'm at. You got me? And that's where I was in my mid-20s in that particular area. It's happened a lot since then, in my mid-20s. But until I started, it's just the grace of God. You can place yourself in those positions, or you can force God to put you around those positions, and you make a decision whether I'm going to do it or not. It's better to just jump in and hang around more mature people, because you will not get new revelation, new insight, until you're willing to break through your status quo. Now, I'm not saying your status quo is bad. Right now, let's take Craig Cooper, where I'm at in my life. I will not grow much beyond where I'm at until I surround myself with people that are beyond it, and it forces me to say, am I going to stay here or move beyond it? When I start moving beyond it, then he can give me new revelation. He doesn't give you new revelation until you make the decision, I'm going to move.
That's right.
We're all here in the church. If God wants to move, he can move. It's not true. If that was true, I'd still be where I was 30 years ago. How many of you know where I'm at? It's the truth. It is a combination. But it says God's eyes in 2 Chronicles are searching to and fro across the earth for someone whose heart is after him, who is hungry, who is desperate, who may be saved but wants more. And so I pray over myself and over you daily, not just today, but week after week. You'll see it in my teachings. You'll see it as we walk together. It's not like I'm preaching you. I'm like, okay, like I even came up to Joe. How was your last, I saw him 2 weeks ago. How was your last 2 weeks? We talked. We went back and forth. I wasn't doing it with, I may do it with somebody I don't totally know, but with him, I think he knew. I was totally going, how's your journey been? How's your walk with God been? I'm not real involved in his life, but just from the outside. But he needs people like that. You need people like that. And he's got more people that are on a daily basis like that. I've got it. People like that. That if they'll ask me, well, what God's sharing with you? It's a little intimidating at first, but there's something in us that resonates and goes, you know, I don't quite know what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but I want that. And that's why it's important. We do small groups here. We've got 4 small groups. If you know, Chuck does one, and Mary Ellen during the week. James does one for the men. Doreen does one for the women. And Cynthia and David does one for everybody too, like Chuck and Mary Ellen. If you're not in a small group, you can just keep coming on Sunday mornings, and it's good. It's not like it's bad. You'll get to a certain level. But if you're not in a small group and have a group of people around you, I'm just telling you, to get to where you need to go and where God wants you to be, you've got to have a group of people around you like that. Now, sometimes you go to small groups and they're awesome. Sometimes they're boring as all get out. Why? That's life. Sometimes your relationship with your husband is awesome, or your wife is awesome. And sometimes it's like, I just soon not be here. But it's the commitment to that relationship and the growth that comes through it that you measure over time is what makes the difference. Can you go get some water out of the water fountain? I've been fighting a cough, so. And you have to measure you can measure experiences, presence by single events, like on Sunday morning. You can only measure maturity and growth over time. Am I more mature than yesterday? It's just not measurable. Am I more mature than last year? And maturity is this: able to make the right decisions at the right time. Well, how do you know if I'm mature? Are you making more right decisions now at the right time than you did last year? Are y'all with me? Is y'all too boring? So we want you to connect to God. We want you to connect to others. And let me move on. We want you to connect to your purpose. Now, if you don't want to accomplish God's will on your life, come on Sunday mornings, but don't do much more than that. Because if I hang around you and the other leaders hang around you, we care more about you than what you think of us. And so, even though I don't know Melissa over here, right, Melissa? Even though I don't know her, she has something this area needs. She grew up in Cahutta, was born in Cahutta. She lives in Crandall now. See, I was paying attention. She's over there with her husband. Well, why hadn't she moved to California? Why hadn't she moved to Michigan? Why hadn't she done this or that? Because there's something God has placed inside of her that this area needs. Now, what does that mean that this area needs? That's sort of a generic thing. There are people here that needs the gift that's inside of her. Amen. Or else she'd be somewhere else. Why is Lynette here, young, from Australia? She won't be here forever, but why is she here? It's not just because we have beautiful scenery. They have beautiful scenery in Australia. It's not because of our great cities. They have great cities in Australia. It's not because of the ocean, because they have oceans in Australia, okay, all around it. It's because people, one or 100, I don't know, it doesn't matter, needs what's inside of her. And if I care about her, and as I hang around her, God will help show me a little bit part of her destiny or purpose. See, when you got saved, it wasn't just to hang on until the rapture. You got saved to change the world to look more like if Jesus was walking here on the earth. Yes. The Lord's Prayer, how many of you said that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, the focus of the Father is not on heaven. Why? Because it's perfect. He's already done His job. It's in order. There's no chaos. There's no sickness. There's no crying. His focus is on the earth. And guess who He delegated that purpose so that there'll be no crying. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no depression. There'll be no unbelievers. He's partnered with you. He said, I've taken care of my place. Follow this pattern. Do it down here. Now, that's a big vision, isn't it? But if you do your little circle of 1 to 100 people, or however many God's got, over your lifetime, it'll be a lot of people. As you just walk. And I do my part. Susan does her part. Marilyn does her part. The little circles come together. And before long, the whole area is influenced. But if Carolyn does not do her part, there's a gap over there with that 1 to 100 people that need her. And because I know that God wants the whole earth changed to look like Him, I'm going to come along to her and say, you know, I love you. I know her enough, so I'm going to say, I love you. You're a blessing. Now, I can't do this first time I meet her. I got to develop trust. I got to develop a relationship. I got to be in a small group. I love her and say, now listen, you're good at this. I'm making this up. I don't really know this. Somebody else that knows her better. But you got the gift of mercy. I don't know if she has the gift of mercy now, but let's just pick on one. We do gift tests here. You hang around long enough, you can do gift tests. You can do nothing. You have the gift of mercy. Now, I know you've had a hard 2 weeks, but there's other people who's had a harder 2 weeks. Go out there and mercify, and then it'll help your hard 2 weeks. Now, only a friend could do that, or somebody that's been around. She's going to get mad at me, probably, and walk away. But then that gives, if you try to do it in the right way, the Holy Spirit goes, you know, what Craig said was right. Go out there, show mercy. What you sow, you'll reap. Amen. But if she just comes and looks up there and goes, he's just an awesome preacher. Oh, he's just awesome. Oh, look at the power. I can see glowing all around him. There's this guy I would love to walk around in his house. This must be awesome. First of all, you're in deception. That'll never happen. But second, I can never get close enough to you to do that. Now, sometimes the Lord will give us specific words of prophecy or words of wisdom, but we can't live by that. Those are important, and we do those. How many of you ever had a word of wisdom or knowledge or prophecy over? It's a wonderful thing. It confirms. But it should confirm what's already happening in your life already. So somebody says that to you, and then on Sunday morning I come, and you say, you know, the Lord's telling you to go out. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, that dude at the small group said that thing. All right, I guess I got to do it out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. You get how the Lord works? So this is our goal. We want you to connect with God. It's the joy of life. We want you to connect with others. It brings richness. We were not meant to be alone. And it's not just so that we can iron sharpens iron. The most fun I have is with other people. Get together, have fun, laugh. If you don't laugh, religion has come in there somewhere because you take yourself too seriously. We take God seriously. I never take myself seriously. I take how He can work through me seriously, but just go and have fun, eat, have a good time, because that's fun. It's a richness of life. Americans are the most loneliest society on earth. Churches are no different. Why? Because the structure is wrong. We've got to get to the smaller units so that we can get to know each other. Right? So it's the richness of life and your purpose. Connect to your purpose. And we need what's inside of you, and you will be fulfilled when you find that purpose and do it. Many times we wait for fulfillment to happen before we do. No, fulfillment comes when you do. All right, what gaps have I left here? Joy of life is connecting with God. Connecting with others is the richness of life. Connecting with your purpose gives meaning to your life. And allows you to bring rewards back to Him. Can you say connect? Somebody goes, why do you go to that church? Because we're here to connect. So that's the word. Last year was rich, risk. This year, really, it's been all along, but connect. See, this is what I've been praying recently. Many times I can feel the presence of God in here bigger than just what's inside of me. You know what I'm talking about? And I've been praying lately for us to, and so with our spiritual eyes, we can tell that the presence of God is here. How many of you can tell there's angels around, or God's around, but you've never actually seen them? Some people've seen them. How many of you have ever seen angels? That one person, a few here and there. I have been praying that we not just sense the presence of God on Sunday mornings or in small groups, but we see with our physical eyes the presence of God, which is the glory cloud. I've talked to Christians who have physically seen clouds move into their services. Now, I do the same thing I did 30 years ago in my 20s. I get mad. Because, wait a minute, are you Looney Tunes? And then I say, okay, all right, here's another test. And I'm then move into being provoked. Well, why does the presence of God come over to you instead of me? You get a little arrogant, okay? Then I have to move on past that and go, Father, let me grow. Let your presence be so strong that I physically see it. Cynthia Rogers, which is one of the pastors in Calhoun, they were at a meeting last Saturday night, not yesterday, but a week ago, down in somewhere, I think it's Kennesaw, Cartersville area. She said while she was there, gold dust, almost like the what's the little sprinkles? What's the things you do with kids, crafts? Glitter. It's like gold glitter started falling in the place. And her husband, David Rogers, you know him, he was having a hard time believing it. I mean, he knew it was true, but he was sort of like me having a hard time believing. Then before they went to bed, he saw a gold glitter thing in her hair. It was actually on her chin. Now, I'm not after the glitter, but I am after the presence, and I want as much as the presence He'll bring, and I want it so strong that my body can't even deny that He's come in.
Hallelujah. Come on.
You got me?
Yes, sir.
I don't even have to be spiritual to know that He moves in. Bill Johnson said he was a pastor in Northern California. He was at, and I'm getting close to the end, which you know what that means for a preacher. But he was at a conference somewhere. I don't remember where. It was in California. It wasn't at his home church. And they were playing, and over parts, one section of the stage where there was instruments, he said, the presence of God, you could tell it. You could sense it. You couldn't see it with your physical eyes, but you could just sense it. He said it was just very strong. He said it started raining over one part of the stage. The pastors and them started moving the equipment and started going up in the ceiling trying to get the rain stopped, and they realized it didn't start at the roof. Somewhere between the roof and the floor, there was a thundercloud. And before they started doing that, they, you know, we're all so quick-witted in the spirit. You know, God does stuff, then we go, oh, well, I'm just a man of faith and power. Before that, they were singing, "Let It Rain," and when it started raining, they didn't make the connection. God's so good, isn't he? Now, am I after signs and wonders? I'm after the God of the signs and wonders. I'm after a lifestyle that, like Peter, when I walk to the temple, that I've been so much in his presence and he's so much on me that it heals the beggars. Charles Finney, go back and read it, the Second Great Awakening, which was the last great awakening we've had in this country. We've had revivals. The Zuzu Street was a major revival. But an awakening is different. Awakening is a reformation. A reformation is this, is people get saved and society changes. It happened in the 1700s with the first one. It happened in the mid-1800s. It was led by Charles Finney. It not only saved people by the hundreds of thousands, it changed society. It emptied prisons. It changed schools. It changed all of society. The Zuzu Street Revival was awesome. It's gone all the way around the world. They estimate 500 million people have gotten saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and speaking in tongues out of the Zuzu Street Revival. But it did not cause a reformation in our society. And I am praying, and I am here, and the other leaders are here. We're here not to build a great church, not to build a great attendance, but to raise up a place where God can move in and through you to change society. And it is totally different. I don't want to do anything that takes away from that purpose of equipping you to hear God, equipping you to walk with others and bless them and them bless you. And part of that is finding your place wherever that may be. It may be holding the fort down as I was talking to Melissa at our home. It may be holding the fort down like Ed does as a mechanic and a driver over the metal workspace I've been cleaning. I don't know where it is, but wherever it is, it's where to hold our fort down. And bring into that. It's not just your job, is not just a pay thing. And I can tell you that. I get no money from this church. Tomorrow morning, I'll be at Chattanooga at my office doing what I'm doing. That is just as important as what I'm doing here. Because it's bringing into that place. Father, how do I be the best minister as a computer programmer here? How do I bring in integrity? How do I bring in perspective? How do I look for people? There may be some people I take out to lunch. I take people out to lunch all the time. What I do this and this, just love on them. Maybe I have a word for them, maybe I don't. You see that? And that's helping my 1 to 100 people. And that's why we're here, is to help you accomplish that. All the other stuff is good, but I'm not about that. We're very focused like a laser beam. Connect God, connect others, and connect to your presence. And to last two things is to find the word prophetic. You hear me say that a lot. It says that in the scriptures that the testimony of the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That means the Holy Spirit comes along and gives prophetic words, insight to help us know more about what Jesus is doing. And so prophetic is just simply this, listening to the Holy Spirit. He's the author of the prophecies. Is listening, it's also, you could call it hearing the voice of God. Prophetic is mean hearing the voice of God. That's hearing the voice of God. Prophetic is this, hearing the voice of God and then saying it. So we want to teach you as a disciple to hear the voice of God, but we don't want it to stop there. He says, I am in you like a river, not a lake. And so prophetic is this, is what the Lord gives me in the right time and in the right place, and when I own it, is giving it back out and saying it. I want every one of us to be a prophetic people at different times. We're hearing God for our different areas. It may be over our kids, work, here, whatever, and we're saying that thing. Prophetic would be like the example I was doing with the mercy thing over here. I see this in your life. I encourage you to move that way. The prophetic is keeping it from being a lake and turning it into a river. And we've got, and close with this, I got way too much here, but the power of God we've got to have in the church.
Yes, amen.
I grew up in a group of people that emphasized the fruits of the Holy Spirit without the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And what I did was cut off one of the arms of the Holy Spirit. He comes with the fruits, 9. He comes with the gifts, 9. There's 9 gifts. There's 9 fruits. You can go back and look in Galatians 5 for the 9 gifts. 9 fruits. You can go back look at 1 Corinthians 12 for the 9 fruits. Gifts. I'm getting myself gifted. Galatians 5, 1 Corinthians 12. It's there. Go look. And I was cutting one off. I was putting one arm behind him and saying, all right, let's do the fruits. But do you realize I cannot do the fruits without the power of God? How many of you tried to be patient in a relationship and it doesn't last too long? How many of you tried to love somebody and it don't last too long? That's where I got to go. Holy Spirit, I have got to have your power to live the daily Christian life, let alone the gifts.
Amen.
See, I can fake myself out thinking I love Joe over here or Gary. So we fake ourselves out sometimes. Eventually, we'll realize we don't. But the whole gifts thing, I can't fake healing. I can't fake miracles. I can't fake deliverance. But God wants to flow through each of you in deliverance, not just some super spiritual minister.
Yes,
there's no super spiritual ministers.
No.
We're all just here doing our thing with the Holy Spirit. Every one of you, won't y'all stand and pray? Every one of you, the Lord wants to flow through in power. Where do I start? What's your challenge for this week? What is a challenge in your life? Finances, relationships, ornery bosses or ornery employees, depending on how it may be, ornery kids, ornery husbands. There's never ornery wives, but ornery husbands. Just call me WD-40. We're slick here, buddy. What's your challenge? We're going to pray right now for you to be prophetic, to hear the Lord how to go after it, and then the power of God. Because, see, there's your part and His part. And so many times I find myself trying to do it all by myself. And we've got to have wisdom to know what's His part and what's your part. You do His part, and then you say, Father, I've done my part. Thank you that you're going to do yours. So whatever your challenge is today, just you keep it in your mind. We're going to pray right now. I'm going to close with this. And then I want to pray for all of you. Have you dedicated Skylar yet? Well, whenever you do, make sure it's a Sunday I'm here, okay? If you can. That was random, wasn't it? That was good. I wanted to tell you that. And so, where was I? Let's pray. But if you need prayer for anything specific after this, I'm going to go back over here to your left, up here where the piano is. And some other leaders, wherever you are. Oh, I love praying for people. It's fun. So if you need prayer for anything, you come up here, and we're going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for this week, that growth is coming this week in every person. And we go through our minds, you know, one thing that's just maybe we're dreading or a challenge, or maybe everything's good, but we want to see an expansion in. Father, right now, I give that to you. I pray you show me the principles of how to walk in that, if your scripture says anything on it. Bring along tapes, other people, mature people, because it doesn't do any good to fight against it, to ask your blessings if I'm doing it against how you've told me to do it. Bring principles into my life for that one area. Just pray that. And Father, I pray you will give me revelation. Show me your spirit. Give me your prophetic voice on how to apply those principles specifically. And I pray for your power to break those things, just like Gary was saying with that man's wife. It needed the power of God to break off the oppression and the mindset. And Father, wherever is in me or in that circumstance that needs the power of God, we pray deliverance over it now. We pray supernatural strength over it now. And we give it to you, and we thank you for movement forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, y'all have been a blessing. And y'all have a good week. And I love you guys. I love hungry, desperate people. Be more hungry and desperate than me, because it provokes me to go forward. Amen. If you need prayer, I'm going to be up here.